Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Tuso Mbedu is a South African actress who has earned two international Emmy nominations as Winnie in the Mzansi Magic's Isithunzi. From there, her career went international. She cracked a Critics' Choice Best Actress nomination as Cora in the Emmy-nominated The Underground Railroad, won the Black Reel Breakthrough Actress Award as Nawi in the number one box office hit The Woman King, and has voiced roles in Mufasa the Lion King and Castlevania Nocturne. Next, she'll play the lead in the adaptation of Tommy Adeyemi's best-selling fantasy, Children of Blood and Bone. Task is a new crime drama series from Brad Inglesby, creator of the four-time Emmy winner Mayor of Easttown. Four-time Oscar nominee Mark Ruffalo plays an FBI agent heading up a task force trying to put an end to a string of violent robberies. The stacked cast includes South African star Tuso Mbedu, Emmy nominee Tom Pelfrey, BAFTA nominee Amelia Jones, Jamie McShane, Alison Oliver, and Fabian Frankel. Up next on Celeb Savant, discussing her journey in the entertainment world and her latest project Task, is Tuso Mbedu. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm in Los Angeles right now and I'm very good, thank you very much.
What age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this creative entertainment acting world? And how did that journey progress?
I think it was in the 10th grade, so age 16, where I decided that I want to be in the acting industry and not necessarily to entertain people, but with the purpose of bringing healing through my craft. That was, yeah, because I performed, I've given like a drama performance as part of my exam, and I had like these adults, because our exams were open to the public, these adults like come to me and thank me for giving voice to whatever internal chaos they had in them. And I was like, oh, I can use this craft to help heal people. Yeah. And then making the decision to take dramatic arts in university. I went to UWITS University. So 2010 to 2013. And my professional career started in 2014. There was a production called Saints and Sinners on Mzansi Magic. It's been a hard journey. The entertainment part of it is fun, but it's not why I'm here, because I'm also very introverted. You know, I keep to myself a lot. So when it comes to events, it's in conversation with my team where it's like, okay, what's the real purpose of this event? You know, I'm not trying to go to any and all events because I just don't have it in me. And yeah, and then my Hollywood career started in 2019 when I got the opportunity to audition for and got the role in a series directed by Barry Jenkins. And then from there, I got a film with Gina Prince-Bythewood called The Woman King. And then Task is actually my third project in the U.S., which is exciting for me because it's contemporary, you know, America performing as a detective, something which I've never done before.
When you decided at the age of 16 to say, okay, I want to use this craft to heal people and engage and empower, did you think or have the vision that you'd be on the international stage, nominated for Emmys, all these awards? Or have you had a little bit of imposter syndrome along the way, like, oh, this is actually happening right now?
So it's one of those where It's a good dream to have. It's something that you wish for. It's something that you desire, but never actually think that it's attainable. Never actually think that it could happen. I'm the type, again, before coming to the U.S. in 2019, I think it would have been like either 2017 or 2018. I'm the friend who took two of my other friends to a rooftop on a shopping center. We sat and we watched the stars, and I encouraged them to dream out loud with me, you know. And so like, oh, if in my ideal world, this is what my life would look like, this is what my career would be. And that exercise actually made me sad a little bit because I found that with my friends, they didn't allow themselves to dream past their current circumstances, which I guess also was a little bit of a difference maker between all of us. Because when I did finally break into Hollywood, a really close friend of mine pulled me to the side and she was like, "I've always heard you dream, but I always thought you were crazy because how this is not supposed to happen the way it's happening, you know?" And so, yeah, in dreaming, it was that where I just allowed myself to dream, whether I could achieve it or not. But there's something in me that always desired it. And now being in this space is still, when I take a beat and take a moment to process it, my mind really does go, how am I here? Why am I here? You know, and but then it brings up a whole lot of gratitude in me more than anything. Mm.
What do you enjoy about acting and taking on different character roles?
So again, as an introvert who also is just like a reader, I've always loved reading. You know, books were my escape. Acting affords me that. I've always been a person who likes taking in information. And a good friend, well, she was my writer-director, but is now a really good friend of mine, Amanda Lane. She wrote and directed Istunzi. I remember having a conversation with her. And I think I'd said something along the lines of, oh, I wish, you know, I could have become a pilot or something like that, you know, something random where, you know, I could really apply my mind. And she said to me, well, the great thing about acting is that you can literally become anything. You know, you can be anything you want to be in this world because these characters are created. And as an actor, you have to fully enmesh yourself in that world. You have to learn what it is that they learn so that you can be as authentic to the character as possible. And that reframed my thinking. I was like, I can be that. I can be anything, you know, as long as it's within the scope of the story that's being told. But that's also part of the reason why I'm now in a place where I'm like, let me try write the stories that I want to see myself in. Because if I wait for the opportunity, it might never actually happen. And so with acting, I can, like reading in the past, it can remove me completely away from my circumstance, whatever it is, you know, I can, and I can fully delve into this other world and navigate a completely different being, which then also helps me understand who I am as a person in real time.
You referenced that you've got different roles. You're playing a detective in Task. How much research do you do to prepare for a character?
I love doing as much research as I can because when I build my character, I build them from a psychological standpoint. You know, you have what you have on screen, but a person is shaped by their lived experience, which is informed, circumstance informs it, but then how they deal with it psychologically ultimately is who you see on screen. And so I really enjoy delving into the research of creating a character. You will find me, you know, reading books. So I will Google a lot of information because now, unfortunately, you know, we don't actively go out to libraries anymore. But back in the day when it wasn't Google, it was me in the library all the time. And then I YouTube a lot of, you know, case studies of people in similar situations because I want to see how they conduct themselves in now, you know, in relation to the real world. And so even with the task, I was very mindful of, you know, Googling woman who had experienced what she experienced. And I'm not going to talk about it because I want people to watch the show to see what it is that I'm talking about. But Googling the woman who had experienced what she had experienced, but not just women in general. I was looking for a woman in her position of authority. So people within the police force, you know, I didn't find any information about people as FBI, but I found women within the, who are police chiefs. And this was now also in different parts of the world, not just America. You know, there was a police chief who was in the UK. I watched her tape over and over just because of how she conducted herself. And also with this particular project as well, we were in conversation with Police Chief Dave Osbod of the East Town Police Department, who opened up his police station and let us have conversations with his detectives. And in being in conversation with those detectives, I got to interview them about the police department that my character is from, which is the Chester Police Department, which in real time, again, every time I mentioned it to a new detective, their eyes would open wide and they'd be like, yo, like it's just them trying to describe the environment in which my character would exist in real life was a lot for them. And they're like, essentially, it's not a police department that anybody would just, you know, want to be in because it's so hard. And then obviously there's the part where we have to work on dialect because my character is an American. I had to work with a dialect coach. I had two dialect coaches. And then we sourced a lot of material of where I could work from in terms of creating her sound. It's multi-layered, but I research is my most favorite part of the process. So because when I get to set, as the dialect coaches always say, you know, you prepare as much as you can so that on set it's become second nature. It's not even something that you're thinking about. It's not, you know, just like being finicky in the moment. You throw it away and then you hope that the character lives in you as best as possible.
Have you found that challenging working with dialect coaches?
So let me see. Okay, starting in South Africa, I'll say that I had to, because I'm Zulu, right? But in South Africa, you have KZN Zulu and then you have Johannesburg Zulu. So some of the characters that I played were Johannesburg Zulu. And it's funny, most people won't notice, but there is a distinct difference between how we sound. Trying to figure out that, even the dialect itself, like the types of words that we use are so different. And if people don't notice, I'm glad then that it means I did, you know, a little bit of a good job in portraying those characters. And then I played, Cora was the Southern accent, but specifically within, you know, the 1800s. And then the Woman King character was, I would say, in inverted commas, Hollywood African, because there's no one African accent, number one. And so we play what Hollywood thinks is the African accent. And then with this one, again, contemporary modern day American, but specific to Philadelphia. And that, I have to admit, was the hardest I've ever experienced. I remember my dialect coaches were great. They were amazing. I actually loved working with them. But I remember going through a time or process of hanging up the Zoom call and just like freaking out about not getting this accent, to the point where I was like, I tried to say to my manager, I might get fired because I'm not getting this accent. You know, I was like, I felt like my job was on the line because I just couldn't nail the accent. And then when I got feedback from them, they're like, oh, no, you're in the place and you're not going to be fired because of the accent. But it was so hard. Oh my gosh, it was so hard. And I was very happy when, you know, we were able to shoot and I didn't feel like I was slowing everybody down as a result of this accent.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier that you want everyone to watch the show, but what can you tell us? I know you want all the, there's not many spoilers, so give us the high level overview. What is Task and who do you portray?
Okay, cool. So I portray Aaliyah Clinton, who is a detective at the Chester Police Department, which again, in the context of the Americas, I would say it's in a part of the city that's hard. I would say, yeah, described as hard, as again, as explained by the other police detectives, where with my character, if she sees things that are gruesome or heartbreaking, she cannot react to it as if she's seeing it for the first time because that's her lived experience, you know.
Yes.
And so Aaliyah is rather, you know, she's standoffish. She's there to do the job. She takes her authoritative role very seriously. We are forged together all these different personalities to help solve a case of like different robberies that have been happening. But then only to find at episode one that it's now gone from robbery to kidnapping. And that's the case that we're now trying to solve, which is bigger than what we had signed up for. And so we have four members in the task force, which is Tom, played by Mark Ruffalo, Grosso, played by Fabian Frankel, and Lizzie, Ditzy Lizzy, played very brilliantly by Adam Oliver, you know. And so it's completely contrast, and we even see it in Tom's character. He's like, I wouldn't have picked these people, you know, if I were given the choice, but he's not given a choice. And so we follow them on this journey where we get to know the different lives of the different TOS members, but we're also low-key rooting for the bad guy in a way, because Brad Inglesby, the creator of the show, wrote it in such a way that he humanizes every single character. You know, every character has been thought about thoroughly, and like even in conversation, collaborating with the actors in terms of where the character goes is immensely beautiful. And it's one of those slow burn shows that you have to watch it through to really get the full impact at the end of it, which is something that I really enjoyed.
For you, what is the difference between being in a movie, being in a series for a period of time, voicing cartoons? Obviously, you bring the same energy, enthusiasm, thought, and dedication to those various roles. But what is the difference for you for those different types of categories, so to speak?
So with movie making, it's typically we're telling a story in a condensed form, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so even in fleshing out the character, unless the character is jumping, you know, through different ages, you're getting a slice of life of that moment. And so even the preparation differs. When I think about, you know, the amount of preparation that, you know, I did for The Underground and now Task, I felt like I did a whole lot more preparation than I did for that versus The Woman King and now Children of Blood and Bone. That's the major difference, that you get to explore and flesh out a lot more when you're doing a series, you know, which is something I really, really, really enjoy. The character, how the arc is different. It's much longer. You get a chance to play a lot more with the character because you have the time to do so. Whereas with films, you have to get to the point, you know, and it low-key feels like there's certain boxes you just need to check. Because again, it's like, okay, we have act one. These are the beats that you need to eat to hit. But I enjoy it. It's fun because again, you're in and you're out. Whereas with the series, it takes that much longer. And then with the voiceover stuff, when I did Castlevania, it was funny because Castlevania Nocturne was my very first like voiceover audition. I didn't expect to get it. I was just sending a tape so that, you know, my team could hear what I have to offer. And I said to them, you know, give me as much feedback as you can, as you want, because I'm here to learn. And so when I got it, I was like, wait a minute. First of all, it wasn't supposed to happen like this. I was just practicing, you know, and then being in that space. And they were, the creators of that were also very lovely. You know, they took their time and guiding me and leading me so that they could get exactly what it is that they wanted. And again, I'm always on some, as long as you're happy, because I don't even know if I'm doing it right. Yeah, that was fun. I would do voiceovers over and over again because I enjoyed that experience so much.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the audience,
number one, to those who have been supporting me since, you know, the beginning, I'm very, 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 very grateful, you know, both in South Africa and then now globally. It's humbling because, like I mentioned, I really feel like I'm figuring this out as I go along. I don't feel like I've done enough to garner that much support, but people are there. And then, yeah, I would just really encourage people to watch the show. It's an enjoyable show. It's beautifully created, just visually and then story-wise. And then the hearts behind the story. Everybody was amazing on set, you know. Yeah, everybody was nice. Everyone was kind. Everyone was loving. If there were bloopers, you would see just how ridiculous we were. A lot of laughter in between moments, you know. So, yeah, I think people will enjoy it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.